One other thing about Hodgkin I wanted to ask you about. You know, obviously one of the really important developments in Hodgkin lymphoma has been the evolution of checkpoint inhibitors. So I'm going to get your take a little bit about your experience with checkpoint inhibitors, but also if you could backtrack through some of the biology in terms of why it is that Hodgkin seems to be so sensitive and what your current vision is in general for the biology of Hodgkin lymphoma.
So it's really interesting. Work by Margaret Shipp and others have shown that the Reed-Sternberg cell has amplification or copy number gain in chromosome 9p, which encodes PD-L1 and PD-L2. And this is found pretty much across the board. Most of the cases that have been examined are NS Hodgkin's, but also appears to be true in mixed cellularity. And this makes Hodgkin's really the poster child for using checkpoint inhibition. And that's really been borne out, I think, in the studies where in all the studies in the relapse refractory setting, patients have 60 to 70% overall response rates. And, you know, I think now the question is, how do we best incorporate these into the relapse and upfront management? I mean, currently, I think we're using them mostly post-auto, but we just did a study. Philippe Armand just completed a study doing post-auto consolidation with 6 months of pembrolizumab. So we look forward to seeing what that looks like. But I think it's a really attractive idea as the immune system is regenerating after auto. And then the question becomes, what about upfront? Should we be consolidating high-risk patients? I think the problem is that we have such successful regimens that how to design studies to answer a question is becoming very complicated. And we're just talking with Philippe Armand about this because in the upfront setting, the cure rates are so good with ABVD alone. So in whom do you think about adding the additional toxicity of checkpoint inhibitors or brentuximab vedotin, and how do you do those studies? And it's still a big question.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, when you were talking about using vedotin up front, I've always been curious about that trial and that whole question about events
right. And
how big this trial has to be and how big the effect's going to have to be. I kind of wonder if it has sort of a modest effect, whether they're going to miss it.
Right. I mean, I think we'll see an effect. I think the data supposedly is going to be released at some point this year, and I think it will be a positive trial. But I think in the upfront setting for early stage, I think there's more of a question there. Is there going to be a role there given the very good outcomes with chemo alone? You know, you'd have to do an exceedingly large study to see a difference between 92 and 96%. And is that really clinically meaningful, and at what cost and what potential toxicity? So it's getting really interesting because of successful regimens. You know, it's a good position to be in.
You know, I actually talked to Dr. Armand, and one of the things that we kind of got into, and I was really thinking about it after the interview, was the issue of checkpoint inhibitors in people who've had allo.
Yeah.
And like, what happens there immunologically? Any thoughts about that?
So he just published with one of our current hemonc fellows a paper in Blood looking at this question, and they do appear to see more GVH, but it seems to be fairly manageable, and it looks like the outcomes in those patients look very good as well. So I think it's really going to be a matter of timing and watching, you know, very cautiously for toxicity. But it's, you know, we're doing very few allos in Hodgkin's now. I can't remember the last patient I sent for an allo, but when we put them on checkpoint inhibitors and they're continuing along on checkpoint inhibitors, we're saying, well, we'll just keep going until they clearly have progression. But we have a lot of patients who've had sort of partial remissions that have been durable, at least for a year, 2 years. It's interesting.
I'm just kind of curious. I always ask people whenever we get up and talk about checkpoint inhibitors, you know, obviously there are a lot of people with all kinds of tumors getting them. Have you encountered any patients who had pre-existing autoimmune disease?
We've been pretty careful on the trials, very clearly exclude those patients. And I think, you know, we really need to have a better understanding of what T-cell subsets are being affected. And I think there's a lot of research going on at the Farber and other places to try to really understand this so we can, you know, not blanketly say, okay, if you have RA, you're never going to get one of these drugs, because I think we're going to be facing that more and more.